From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. In Chengdu, China, I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. We came here before the quake to get a sense of ordinary, everyday life in this rapidly growing southwestern Chinese city. Well, this story is about something that is very typical of young people in China, in particular, young people in the Chinese cities. We'll start with a terrific kid, an effervescent 17-year-old high school junior named Wo Mengju. The English name she goes by in school is Becky, but more casually, she uses a translation of one character in her name, Bamboo. The weekend before the earthquake, Bamboo was home in Chengdu, where her father drives a cab. She attends a public high school that's a boarding school. That's common here. A couple of days after I met her, Bamboo says she was shaken awake from a nap during government class. She assured me that for someone specializing in science, as she is, government isn't very important.
This is okay.
In any case, the building was shaking, the desks and chairs were shaking, she said, but there were no casualties. A couple of days earlier, when we met in Chengdu, an earthquake was the farthest thing from anyone's mind. She was showing me the photo album that she had made of herself when she turned 16.
This is Barbie shoot.
Yeah, this is your art shoot or your fashion shoot, or you'd say your Barbie shoot. Mm-hmm. You went to a photographer.
Yes, I went to photographers. I went to art shoot shop, the stores to take it.
And the result is a bound volume of photos of you as you're a model. I mean, you look 10 years older than you are in these pictures.
Oh, well, it depends on you. You can take, you can talk to the photographer. She said, oh, I want to be modern. I want to be adult. I want to be out of style. And you can tell what you want.
There's a poster of her from this Barbie shoot hanging on her parents' living room wall. She's leaning over a narrow chest of drawers, her tongue licking at her teeth. If you must, the picture's at our website. These so-called art shoots are common among teenage girls in Chinese cities, and if it sounds a little too seductive to be altogether wholesome, bear in mind that the dolled-up Bamboo is very much a Barbie, a little girl's coquettish take on feminine sexuality. Above all, the photo shoot was something that Bamboo really wanted, and it seems that what Bamboo wants, Bamboo generally gets.
Yeah.
Bamboo is also a smart, serious kid. Like other Chinese high school students, she typically rises at 6:30, hits the books in study hall at 7:30, and doesn't knock off until 9:30 at night. She claims to feel no pressure, but next year she will take the all-important Chinese university entrance exams.
It's hard and it's very important for you. Like teacher said, this is key for you, and it depends on if you can go to university.
In addition to the evidently soporific government class that she's in, she's also in her third year of physics, and she's taking math and chemistry and...
We have biology.
So you're taking chemistry, biology, physics, and mathematics.
Yeah.
Chinese and English.
And PE. Twice a week.
Here's one thing that Bamboo has in common with the majority of city kids in Chengdu or any Chinese city. She is an only child. Since 1980, China has had a one-child policy. Unless you're a member of a national minority, or unless you and your spouse are both only children, or barring some other special exception, if you have a second kid, you pay a stiff fine. The result is that traditionally large families have turned into inverted pyramids with multiple grandparents for every treasured little one, a child on whom much attention is lavished and of whom great things are expected. This is the Longyuan Guzheng Training Academy. It's a private music school where girls learn to play the guzheng. It's a Chinese horizontal harp. The school is run by Ms. Long, herself a fine soloist who has even toured in the U.S. I asked her how many of the students are only children.
All of the students in the school are only children. We have 300 students, a little over 300.
The one-child policy, she says, makes sense to her and to most Chinese.
Because there are too many Chinese and the government requires it, many people accept that as the right policy. If you want to guarantee the quality of children, then you shouldn't have too many births.
Ms. Long says the pressure that only children can feel might be too much for some students, but it might actually make others work harder. In this practice room, three girls, aged 6, 6.5, and 10, play in unison, with a metronome keeping time. Each is perched on her three-legged stool in front of her instrument. The 6.5-year-old in the front chair is so little that her feet don't reach the ground. As the children take their lessons, the parents or grandparents who brought them wait. A few told us their kids practice at least an hour a day. I asked Yue Ping about the phenomenon of so many only children. She's an accountant who is waiting for her 10-year-old daughter. She said, yes, these kids live under a great deal of pressure.
Children here don't have a very happy childhood.
What would be a better word to describe their childhood?
Hard work.
All that hard work, she says, is at school. At home, only children tend to get a free ride.
Mainly because they're the only one. Their parents will do most of the chores for them. So, comparing their generation to ours, their living skills are very weak.
Song Dao-de is a 66-year-old retiree who happily admits to doting full-time on his 12-year-old granddaughter. She's his only grandchild. He says many more people now can provide their kids with a good education, and they feel that they have to, so that their children can compete.
The big difference between China and other countries is that there are so many of us. So the pressures on the children are so much greater. I've been to Singapore, and they don't have as many people. Pressure on their students is not as great as here. In China, the pressure to study is great. So we parents and grandparents are all running around in circles for our kids.
Back in 1980, the stated goal of this policy was to keep China's population at no more than 1,200,000,000 by the turn of the 21st century. By their own count, they missed by almost 100 million. The policy has produced, among other things, the first huge cohort of Chinese kids to grow up in very small families. Here's a group of 8 young adults in Chengdu who sat down to talk with me about life in today's China a few days before the earthquake. For my benefit, we used the English names that they've chosen. Blair Lee, Cecilia Yang, and Sophie Tong are college students. Kerry Wang and Jeremy Chen are teachers. Rainbow Zhu works for an environmental NGO. His Chinese name is Zhu Ke, and an English teacher gave him the name Rainbow, which stuck. Vi Zhang went to college in Virginia. He now runs a martial arts academy, and Hui Li is getting her master's in environmental sciences. She belongs to one of China's 55 minority nationalities. The 7 others are all Han, China's ethnic majority. How many of you are only children? 1, 2, 3. Carrie, only child?
I'm the only child.
Only
in my
child.
Family.
Blair?
Only child.
Only child. Sophie?
Only child.
Only child. Jeremy?
I'm the only child.
Only child.
V, only child?
Only one.
Rainbow, only child. Okay.
I have a younger brother.
You have a younger brother. Yes. And this has to do with the fact that you're from a minority nationality?
Yes.
The rest of you have grown up without having a sibling. A couple of you have a half-sister or a stepsister. Do you think it changes the way you've lived that so many Chinese of your generation are only children? V, you think it has?
Definitely. Wish we had. When we were young, I don't think we had any understanding why this policy there is, but just like, why can't I have a brother or sister?
Jeremy, the same thing?
It's very lonely. The reason that I'm teaching is because I want to compensate the childhood that I didn't have.
Other thoughts on being an only child or growing up among so many other people who are only one in a family? Carrie?
I think for the only child in family, just like I and my husband, we're both the only child in our families, and it's a great burden for us now because we'll consider about our parents. That means in the past, perhaps there are 7 or not so many, 3 or 4. Children in one family, and then they can share responsibility for their
That
parents.
Used to be a normal Chinese family, to have that many
yes.
siblings.
And now that means we too have to care about the 4 you know, old people.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, the old people, and now they are not old enough.
So if the families get smaller from one generation to the next, you're outnumbered by your elders. There are more of them than there are of you. Did anybody enjoy being an only child? Was it good for any of you? Rainbow, the experience of being an only son, only child?
I think it's good.
We have one vote in favor of being an only child.
I was born in 1970s. So that time, the food supply is very limited. So one child is really benefit. When you have two boys and one home in 70s or 80s, that would be kind of a nightmare.
No. So by a voice vote, those of you who either have children, in V's case, or think about having children, would you want to have more than one child? Yes or no?
Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. Even Rainbow, even you would want to have.
Well, if I have one, I definitely want another. But two is a maximum. Yeah, I don't want to have more than two.
Khaili, Cecilia, Carrie, Blair, Sophie, Jeremy, V, and Rainbow, thank you all very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
We'll hear more from this group on other topics later in the week. A post-earthquake note about only children. Schools collapsed and children died in alarming numbers in the quake. So many schools fell down that school construction has emerged as a major issue here. Clearly, children are not expendable, no matter how many you have, and nothing could be sadder than burying a child, no matter how many surviving siblings there might be. But in this country, for this generation, each child who died is mourned by parents and grandparents who have focused their love, attention, and ambition on that child in a way that no prior generation in China has ever done.
You'll find all of our coverage from China at npr.org. You'll also find our blog by going to npr.org/ China Diary.